God bless you. My name is Aaron Cunningham. I'll be doing tonight's teaching. A neat thing about before the teaching was going to support Chris Kobach. You know who Chris Kobach is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's incredible. Harvard Law, Yale, all the rest of the stuff. But he goes and does a teaching. He talks about and the Hebrews in and out of captivity, in and out of captivity. They built the temple for their God, Yahweh. He's like, all right. But he also, a neat thing, here's Chris Kobach up there, he goes, you put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoe of the glad message, the shield of faith, the sword of the
spirit
of the Ruach Kodesh, which is a spoken word. You speak the word, right? But then he added to it something I've never heard before. Christians and churches are used to that, right? But he goes, then you go fight. You don't put all that stuff on and go sit in your room and don't do anything. You put that stuff on and you go fight. He goes, you're supposed to be in the game. I'm like, wow, did the body of Christ need that? Well, I don't want to get involved with politics. Both parties, you coward. but that's what's neat. So especially with two leaders here that are new, you ladies are fighters. But we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 14. Page 15 in the New Testament. So Donnie could help her. You scoot chair over. Matthew
15.
Chapter 15.
Page 15.
It's kind of like a paragraph that keeps going and going and going.
It's going backwards. The numbers are going backwards.
And so Matthew chapter 14 is page 15 in the Rotherham. Page 20, or verse 22, and you can see the footnote right above it. Jesus Christ is going to walk on the lake. Whenever you see the brackets like that, it means it could have been added to the text. Yeah. The vertical lines mean emphasis. It means like it would be if you italicized or you bold-faced it in the Hebrew and the Greek. So, verse 22. And straightway constrained he the disciples to enter into a boat, and he going before him, unto the other side, while he dismissed the multitude. And dismissing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening came, alone was he there. Now the boat, you guys see those lines, that's the emphasis. Now the boat, still many furlongs from hand, was holding off, being distressed by the waves. We're going to pause there for just a second. Distressed by the waves, what does that mean? The Greek word for this, for the English word distressed here, is Strong's number 0928. And it's Basanizo. Basanizo. Okay? So what is this Greek word? The Greek word, and here's different translations on what is this distress. And I'm going to use this in kind of twofold meanings about what distressed is. But one is the test, could be used to test by the touchstone. Another, a usage of this word, to question by applying torture. It's not how it's used to be used in this. We could say this word could be used, hey, go distress this person. Where are the diamonds? Okay, don't distress me. Okay. Another one is for torture, the same word. That's the third. The fourth is to vex with grievous pain to men. Same Greek word. Now, this is going to be how it's being used right here, is to be harassed, distressed, as those at sea are struggling with headwinds. Have you guys ever been harassed?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been distressed? How are you going to pay your bills? Who's going to pick up the mantle after you? Right? Some of these things that possibly go through your mind. Where are we going to go? How are we going to take care of all my kids? Or whatever. You feel then, have you ever been distressed, harassed? Yeah, absolutely. We go through this all the time. And so this is where the disciples are. Being tortured, if you will, harassed. They can't go where they want. And now we're going to go back to being distressed by the waves. For the wind was contrary. And the neat thing about in this life is it specifically says we're going to have trouble. We're going to be distressed. We're going to be in that boat. We're going to have, it's going to look like we're dying. Who put us in that boat? Well, in this case, Jesus Christ did. I did what you told me. Now we're going to die. Is that what you want? Have you ever had one of those?
Yep.
My son had a seizure. He collapsed, almost bit my finger off. I didn't want him to bite his tongue off. It was scary. It was one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life. And you know, one of the first things that pops up in my mind as he's going to the hospital, where were you? It just pops up out of nowhere. Why didn't you tell me something? You guys ever had that? You immediately start blaming somebody. And I was like, wow, I can't believe my flesh popped up just like this. You shut up. You want to know where he was? He was there the 24 hours before we're peace. Everything's going to be fine. He gave me peace. It will be peaceful. So you shut up, flesh. But that's distress. Who put me here? I was on vacation with my family, honoring my family. And then this happens. I was distressed. And so we're going to be distressed. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them walking on the sea. What was he walking on?
What?
The distress. He was walking on the same thing. He was trying to kill him. He was walking on the torture. Walking on the sea. And the disciples seeing him upon the lake walking, were troubled, saying, ah! It's a ghost, or it's the Greek word phantasm. Okay? They're not sure what the heck it is. But it's freaking them out. And other translations shows it's going a different direction. He's crossing the sea. They're going to call out. He's going to come back. You ever needed help? And you're wondering why you're not getting help? Ask. Be seeking. Be asking. Be knocking. We're commanded to ask. Are you asking for help? Are you being distressed? Ask! James 4, 2, B, and 3 says, you don't have it because you're not asking for it. And then sometimes you're asking for it. 4, 2, B, and 3. That's 4, 2, B, the second part, and 3. And 3 goes, you're asking for stuff, you're not going to get it because you're wanting for your fleshly pleasure. Okay, but ask. What's going to happen here? They think they're drowning. They see a ghost or something. They're going to scream out. And by reason of the crowd, verse 27, straightway Jesus or Yehoshua spake unto them and said, relax. No, he said, take courage. It's I. Be not afraid. I thought you guys were a bunch of grown men in there. You think I was a ghost? And making answer, who speaks up?
Peter.
So he said unto him, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. Why did Yahweh's Father, Jesus Christ's Father, Yahweh, record all this? Is the written word of God. This is the most powerful thing there is. Now, if we have translations that are farther away, there's kind of like paraphrases. He said, she said, gospel, telephone. But this is the most powerful thing there is in there. And why did Yahweh record Peter said that? Peter's going to, if it is you... If it is you, and my dad did a teaching once, and he goes, have you ever missed it? You knew what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to witness to somebody, or you're supposed to, in my case, shut up. I kept talking, and he missed it, right? My dad did a teaching once. He goes, I believe Peter probably missed it a couple times. And he made a commitment in his mind. The next opportunity, I have to do something supernatural, I'm going to do it. So he did that, and that made a lot of sense, because who else asked, hey, I've always wanted to walk on water. No, nobody's ever done this before. But he believed that Peter made a commitment that the next opportunity I have to walk on water, to speak in tongues, to prophesy, to cast out demons, to pull somebody out of a casket, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And so Peter's going to speak up. And then Nathan Joyce Myers will say, do it afraid.
Yeah.
Do it afraid, but prep yourself. And let's see, bid me come upon the waters or upon the distress. Let me walk on top of this. Bills. And he said, come. And descending from the boat, Peter walked upon the waters and came unto Yehoshua. He walked on the water. Two people walked on the water. Two! And seeing the wind, uh-oh, you look back at the distress. What's harassing you? What's coming against you?
Yeah.
Is it Black Lives Matter? Is it the fake news? Is it CNN? Is it ABC? Is it the cowards that are in the Christian church that won't speak against the Democrat Party? Don't say anything about the Democrats. They'll come and... they'll key your car. And we see some of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it says in Matthew 5:10. Hey, remember this. 5:10. Real easy to remember, right? Rejoice when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know why? Cha-ching. Great is your reward.
Yeah.
When you get key, your car gets key for standing for righteousness, Jesus Christ looks and goes, really? You think they're going to get away with that? No. No. So rejoice, because your reward, not just in the next life, but in this life, will happen. So get excited. Maybe it's a better car. And then you ask. You speak. And you go, okay, I took one for the team, right?
I'm just happy insurance fixed.
But you can see that even if your son or a kid stood up for righteousness' sake and a bully punched him in the face and you watch, you couldn't do anything about it, you'd say, Isaiah, come here. What happened? I told him that Jesus has a God and Father. He punched me in the nose. I just quote Ephesians 2 or 3 or whatever. Ephesians 3:1. Really? You read Ephesians 3:1 and they punched you in the nose? Come on. Where are we going? We're going to Cabela's.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't was that what a good father would do?
No.
Yeah, you hope so. Well, how much better is our Heavenly Father and our Lord? So I think if we go and do it with preparatory, I took one for the team, or I'm going to take one for the team. Ooh, the next time I'm going to take one for the team, go into it. I'm going to have a good reward. They're going to attack me. But you know what? I can take one from the team. I played college football or high school football with my brother Israel. Sometimes you got to take it from the team. I got tattooed and planted into the ground. There's like an imprint. Like, welcome to college football. And I got put in there, and I remember sitting there on my back. I didn't even know where I was. And the coach that recruited me looks over with his whistle, and he goes, hey. I look at him. I don't know where I am. He goes, you all right? I'm like, yeah. Typical guy. Of course, I'm always all right. I wasn't. And he goes, that doesn't work in college. That was my best move. That was my introduction to college football. Our center, who bench pressed 500 pounds, came after me, and I went to give him one of my moves. The next thing I know, I'm like, oh, man. And I started getting back up going, do I want to play football? Holy cow! This dude just, I got ran over by a Mack truck, and I sat there, and Christ told me, this football team is going to go to a bowl game. You're going to go to a bowl game that's like the biggest reward in college. Nobody told that. There was no evidence of that, but I was inside me. I went, I'll come back tomorrow, but we'll see if I get hit like that again. I had to learn how to move, but I had a reward. I'm not going to get hit like that again. But Christ gave me a reward. And the point of me bringing that up is not for Christ always to be there to be babysitting us. We should say, I'm going to need a pay raise, man. Right? Hannah's been taking it for the team for a long time, not getting paid. And some of the stuff that I was witnessing, and I could be wrong, between you and Christ and Yahweh, is going, it's time for you to get a pay raise. It's time for you to keep doing your ministry, but to get paid for it. How would you like a paycheck? I would love a paycheck. Man, our Father's a God that's got cattle on 1,000 hills. Donald Trump's not even the speck his wealth compared. Neither is Bezos or any of these guys. What does he got? He's going to go, he's got children. He goes, so why don't we have it? We got it. We got to access it. See, if I'm ready for a promotion, he's going, okay. And in this case, but with Peter, what happened with him, when he started looking at the torture, the torment, the bills, the harassment, in my case, the loneliness. You're lonely, you're lonely, you're lonely. Quit looking at your loneliness, start looking at the Word. Because Peter could walk on top of the water if he was looking at Jesus Christ.
Quit looking backwards and start looking forward.
And you're looking at it. What is your reference point? If you're not looking at your reference point, you guys ever been to the mountains or on a long hike? You have to find a reference point. That's where I'm going. And you check periodically. I've never been survival. Tim's done all kinds of survival stuff. I don't know what you've been through, but I'm sure they give you all kinds of stuff. Navigating by the stars, looking at trees. Anyways. But the good lesson with that is, once you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, don't get surprised if you start sinking. But John Lynn did a teaching on this, which was great. It doesn't say this in the scriptures. He goes, I don't believe that Jesus Christ put Peter in a fireman's carry and walked him back and then dumped him into the boat. There you go, you big sin. Oh, ye of little faith. Peter's like, little faith? I just walked on water, man. Little faith. And actually, I was sinking. How do you sink? He was going down. That's little faith. And John Lane goes, I believe he grabbed by his hand, and as Peter looked at Christ, he got back up. And it doesn't say it, but that makes a lot of sense. And then the two of them walk back. You can walk on top of your circumstances. Has he called you to do something that is impossible? Has he asked you to walk a direction by yourself and it's so difficult? I'm so scared. There's nobody there. Yeah. Get your reference point. Who called you to go there? The Son of the Living God. His Father has got a big checking account. He can give promotions. What kind of promotion is it going to take? Children, jobs, Lamborghinis, cars, whatever it is. And whatever it is, get a reference point. Focus on it. What is going to get you moving in the right direction? And keep. And then as you do that, Christ will be inside you, coaching you, going, that's pretty good, but I got something better. And I've done that. All of a sudden, I kind of get going. He's like, all of a sudden, my desires start changing a little bit more. Now, this is what it is. And then as you get your reference point, what's going to make it worth going through this, tell yourself, it's better than that. Your reference point is just to get you moving and walking on the water again. The biggest thing about Peter walking on the water is for you and I to get to read that we can walk on top of the circumstances. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. That's page 6. The important thing about looking at Christ to be able to walk on the water, and actually, do you know how I got that little teaching? I did a little short. I was going to the gym. I got back in town. I hadn't been in the gym in 2 weeks. I was twitching. I got to get to the gym. I don't feel right. As I'm going to the gym, I get a word of knowledge and return a phone call to one of my clients who's a trucker. He's a really nice guy. The problem is he likes to talk 10 times more than I do. If I call him, I'm going to be on the phone for an hour and a half. I want to go to the gym.
I mean, that was us yesterday. Just saying.
And you cut me off. You didn't cut me off. What happened? Oh, boy. Anyways, I get a word of knowledge, call this guy. I'm like, oh, so I call him. He needs help. I tell him, I start taking care of business. And then I get another word of knowledge. I ask him if he's learned anything in the scriptures. Oh, no. That's like talking to me about the word, right? Aaron, you read anything interesting? I'm glad you said that. Oh, crap. Anyways, what he does, he goes, yes. Peter was able to walk on top of the circumstances when he was looking at Jesus Christ. I'm looking at the fake news all the time. If your friends are looking at fake news all the time, and you're hearing that all the time, faith comes by hearing, you're going to start sinking. He goes, you got to focus on Christ, Aaron. And I went, I know exactly what that meant. I know, my son just had a seizure. And anyways, but what is focusing on Christ? It's not looking at a statue. It's not looking at a picture. It's not looking at him. What is focusing on Christ is going to say, verse 24 through 28.
Chapter 7, you said?
Yeah, chapter 7, 22. No, let me sit here. 24 through 28.
I'm giving
Do you have your phone? Can somebody read that?
Yeah.
I will. 24 through 28. And everyone, therefore, who heareth these my words and doeth them, shall be likened to the prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the stream came, and the winds blew, and rushed against that house, and it fell not. For it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who heareth these, my words, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the streams came, and the winds blew, and dashed against the house, and it fell. And the fall, therefore, was great. And it came to pass, when Yehoshua ended these words with astonishment for the multitude.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, that's good. Thank you for the wise man builds his house upon the rock, foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Okay, there's the whole song. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, but my father pointed something out. I used to sing that, and I didn't know. He goes, who is the wise man that built upon the rock? Verse 24, that does the word. Looking at a picture is not going to raise you above your distress. You got to do the word. You have to read the word. You have to speak the word. The Apostle Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And this minister who was doing a whole teaching on power, he didn't know that he just invited three people, that this is what we do, and we're desiring more and more power. And he goes, I believe that's why the Apostle Paul could do so much, because he spoke in tongues more than all of you. It builds you up. But if you want, but like Mark Hankins did a teaching, he goes, the other lesson with this everybody's going to go through distressing storms. The wise man and the foolish is going to go through a storm. I've been a wise man, not all my life, but now I go through a storm and I start wondering what the problem is. My son just had to, I keep going back over this, but it was my, trying to pick on my own weakness. When he has a seizure like that, what the heck's going on here? Was that a storm?
Yeah.
It was for me. That was some scary stuff. And I go, but was I doing the Word? Yes. Was I reading the Word? Yes. Was he reading the Word? Yes. And in between his seizures, I was having him speak in tongues and pray. And okay, is that doing the Word? Yes. What does that mean? When the storm's over, I'm on a rock. I'm on a rock, baby. What does that mean? If you're not doing the Word, it means when the storms come, what's going to happen to your house? It's going to wash away. You're not going to get to keep it. The neat thing about that is all of us have things built upon sand. We have relationships built on sand or dreams that has no word. I used to have, I'm a people person. I love people. Most of the people I had, there was no word of foundation. It was just, they were fun. I'm fun. And the scripture says that relationship is built on sand. What's going to happen? Do you want to keep it? Well, you know what I would say? Well, if I start talking about the word, they'll take off. Aaron, are you offended at me? How do you know that it won't draw him closer to you? I'm going to lose my friend. So what I started doing for the ones that I valued is I started interjecting the word a little bit more, a little bit more. Most of those relationships were right. They were gone. If I wasn't a lustful man around alcohol, the lust of the flesh, the lust of, they're gone. But guess what happened to some of the other ones? They took some of the words I gave and they started propping up their own house. You know, isn't that neat? That's what we're supposed to do. So you do the word, and then when you go through the storms, you will have, you'll have what you have, you know, you're going to keep your house. But if you don't have it, start working on the foundation. Start putting the word in there. We'll turn to Isaiah 40. That's page 684 in the Old Testament. And so this is actually page 684. And so this was a part of the teaching. We were in Colorado. Here was this pastor. Never met him before. I'm sitting there. I'm probably more uncomfortable than you guys. I'm a teacher, and teachers are supposed to correct other teachers. You see a man that's doing something wrong, you're supposed to correct him. I say, help him. Why is my, I'm sitting there going, I don't want to reprove these people. I'm feeling very uncomfortable. But he starts going into this teaching. And before we go into this teaching, I want to show you a revelation I had. I had a client that he had a glider and these huge airplanes. And he's one of my most fun clients. He bought a BMW, he bought a glider, he's a cave diver, he does everything fun. And actually, he took me on a float trip as a part of that investing six figures on one account. He goes, I'd like to invest with you. I was like, okay, mister. He goes, but I'd also like to go on a float trip. And I went, oh. I said, can I bring my own tent? He goes, sure. I said, I'm just not going to sleep in the same tent as you. But I went on a float trip. This guy's so much fun. I went out to his house. Very good. That's from the toy box. Good job, Coop. Anyways, he takes me out to where his huge airplane is, and it's all folded up, and it goes behind his tiny little truck. And I'm looking at this going, I go, I've always wondered about these things, because I'm thinking, it's just a descent. You're falling like an airplane, like a paper airplane, right? And I go, well, so what do you do? They just pull you up, and you just fall down? And he goes, he looked at me, he goes, you don't know much about gliding, do you? Uh-huh. I go, I don't know nothing about gliding. He said, you ever been driving out over the fields, and you see a big, puffy cloud, it looks like cotton? And the rest of the cloud, the rest of the sky is blue. And I go, yeah. He goes, those are gas stations. I go, what do you mean? And he said, well, that cloud is there because there's moisture in the soil, and the soil is hot, and that means the heat is rising like this, and that's what's creating the cloud. So when they pull the airplane up, all we do is we look for the big cotton balls. As we get to the cotton ball, we start circling back up. And as we're circling back up, we look for the next cotton ball. Go down and you circle back up.
Airplanes are different, just so you know. You want to stay away from the clouds.
That's what he's doing too. So he's doing the paragliding. Mm-hmm. I say stay away from those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to twist you?
It'll collapse the wing.
Yeah, is it because the turbulence is twisting? Okay,
yeah.
So the point of it is, think of it like a little tornado is going up. And what he explained to me was these are elevators. They're invisible elevators. Didn't even know they existed. How much power is there? This guy could spend hours and hours and hours and hours gliding. Above physics.
Yeah.
All by himself. And I'm like, I didn't even know it existed. Now, I was driving home from work, and as I was driving home from work, I'm daydreaming. I'm looking out the window, and I saw a vulture. Here's this big vultures, and if you see vultures, it was over by a field, and guess what was harassing the vulture?
A tiny
little bird. You see this vulture just doing this. And these other birds are... And he just kept going higher and higher and higher and higher. And I'm watching. I know what's going to happen. The birds are going to run out of gas, the little birds. And the vulture's just doing this. Effortlessly. Not flapping. Not using energy. Not exhausting himself. Higher and higher and higher above the harassment and everything else. What was he doing? And they say frigates. These birds can stay days and days and days. They're birds in the ocean. They can actually sleep at sea in the air. How? And so the neat thing about spirit in the Old Testament is called the Ruah. Ruah, the invisible forces. That's what spirit is. It's the invisible force. So hold on to that. Now we're going to turn to, this is one of my favorite scriptures, because if you've seen, Hacksaw Ridge, who's seen it?
Yeah.
Hacksaw Ridge, you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
This is his scripture. The guy, he says, I will run and not grow weary, is at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Did that guy... That beanpole, cornstalk was his nickname. How many bodies did he save? 70?
Yeah, it was a bomb.
He carried 70 bodies?
I think 78.
A strong man can't carry 70 bodies, let alone a cornstalk. How the heck did this guy do this without food and rest? Here's how he did it. Verse 26. And actually, this is the beginning if you watch Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay, hold on. Pardon me. 40:26.
But yeah, actually, Mom, would you read that?
I'm sorry, is it 40:26?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I have the wrong one, too.
Hey, take your time.
Who hath told in advance?
No.
40:26? Somebody else read it.
It's 20, verse 28. I'm sorry, did I say 26?
You said 26.
I did. I messed
what
up.
Is
it's 28.
28.
Verse 40, verse 28.
Oh, 28.
Yeah, it looks like a 6.
Oh, it's right there.
Now that has thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the Elohim of age past times, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, faint not, neither groweth weary.
Pause that right there. Does he faint? Does he grow weary?
No.
Man, who's inside of us?
Yahushua?
Okay.
God
right.
Christ.
Okay.
Yes.
He doesn't grow weary, and that's how the guy cured his bodies. Go ahead. There.
There is no searching of his understanding. Giving to him that fainteth strength, and to him that hath no vigor, he causes power to abound.
Think about that. Have you been distressed? You're sinking. You're exhausted, tormented against the wind and the boat. I don't have anything more. And then he says, come. Peter's been fighting on the water, man. Come. But be my big mouth. He's going to go walk on top of this. You know... It's not about who you are in the physical. It's about who you're with.
Yeah.
And if the God of the creator of the universe who spoke out the Milky Way and created gravity and the seasons and created all this stuff that is inside me, then I have access to whatever I need. If I'm going the direction he's calling me to go. He's calling you out of the boat. Scary, isn't it? But that's what makes it so great. When your kids get to read what you did... Mom, you did that? I didn't do that. I didn't know you were going to be reading that. You go, that's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one.
30.
Yeah.
Youths both faint and grow weary, and young warriors, they fall. But they who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on strong pinion like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint.
We're going to go through problems. We're going to have distress. We're going to start sinking. But if we're doing the word, and then we start focusing on, wait a minute, why am I even here in the first place? And every once in a while, in my own life, I was stuck and I was in a bad spot and I was getting ready to reap what I've been sowing. Oh! Sorry! I repented. I blew it. I'm sorry. I don't want to reap this. I'm going to be in big trouble. Mom and Dad are coming home or whatever else. I fall down on my knees. And guess what he would do? He would bail us out. But it says, the pinions, so other translations will say wings. The wings of eagles. Why does Rothschild say pinion? It's because the Hebrew word is pinion. It's not wings. Do you know what a pinion is? I didn't know. Why does Rotherham do that? I wasn't raised on this translation. I've been humbled by this translation. You keep changing my scriptures, Joseph Rotherham. What a dish. For instance, I didn't know Yahweh's name until I was 20 years old. But I was in good company because Moses didn't know Yahweh's name until he was 80. And I was reading in 1 Chronicles, or actually Daniel was carried off to the captivity, didn't know Yahweh's name, at least in the print, until Jeremiah writes. Then all of a sudden Daniel goes back to my Lord God. But when Jeremiah writes, who's in Jerusalem, he writes, Yahweh says it's going to be 70 years. Can you imagine Daniel going, who's Yahweh? That Jeremiah sure is weird. But Daniel was raised on unbelievers in captivity. And that's Americans. The pinion is the longest feather at the tip of the wing. And that's what actually floats up. It's the tip. And it's the biggest feathers of the eagle. And it's going to be even going up like this. And what this pastor Mark even pointed out, he goes, look, the eagle doesn't lift himself up. He stretches out his wings and Yahweh lifts him up. He will raise you up and he will lift us up. And it was an easy, because how does the eagle and how did that vulture even do it? It was by an invisible force that he was tapping into. We can tap into the invisible force. And we will be raised above it. And the neat thing about that, I was thinking about Donald Trump being harassed by all these birds harassing him. I saw a bobcat and these birds were harassing him. Like, that's just like Donald Trump. And I'm like, you know what? The bobcat doesn't regret being a bobcat.
Yeah.
Forget these stupid birds. I'm like, that's Donald Trump. That's the way we should be too. I'm gonna kind of digress for a second, but, you can walk on top of your distresses, and when you start sinking, look back at Jesus Christ, remind them who you are. Who are you? The creator of the universe asked his perfect son to die the death of the cross for you and for me. Our value is something we can't even fathom. Can you imagine giving Cooper's life for somebody else's? I can't. And Cooper's not Jesus Christ perfect. That's how valuable you and Cooper are. How valuable I am. So look at the Word who says how valuable you are. Then look back at him and go, you said I'm priceless. You said I have to die for. I feel like junk. I'm trying to get my life right. I'm trying. I'm working my tail off. I'm doing this for you, but I'm failing. And start speaking. And as you start speaking and venting, that's what a relationship's all about. Guess what will start happening? You'll say, read my word. Come with me. Take in his hand. And you'll walk on top of the distress too. Father, I was gonna go on to another. Now, here's the last thing. I wanted to interject my other teaching if I could. I think I'd be forcing something. Well, this would be good for Dad. In 2 Kings, well, not going to stop. No. I better not run it. I may have still have to teach.
Romans 8:31-32.
Okay. You have the page number?
Going on that.
What then shall we say?
Yahweh is for us. Who shall be against us?
No one.
There was, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Hallelujah.
And page 158.
So we'll go ahead and read it.
And so you're talking about that. What shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who shall be against us?
What verse?
31-32. What then shall we say to these things? If God for us, who shall be against us? He at least who his own son did not spare, but in behalf of us all delivered him up, how shall he not also with him all things upon us in favor bestow? That's it.
A good one to memorize. Okay. And neat thing, there was a guy named George Mueller who ran an orphanage on faith, never asked for anything. Now, he had a unique ministry. We're supposed to be seeking and asking. But he had a calling, believing he didn't have to go to people and that Yahweh would meet his needs. He'd go directly to Yahweh. Not every ministry can do that. A lot of times, I'm not going to ask for help. He's just going to meet it. No, usually the scripture says, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Like using the body of Christ. But in his unique ministry, as I was reading his testimonies, he would get into a position where these orphans are not going to eat. Talk about letting some kids down.
And how many?
There's like 1,200 at times. 1,200 kids. Orphans. And one at the time he took the orphans, do you know where the orphans went? They went to prison. There's no place for these kids. They're alcoholics, all kinds of 8-year-old kids. 9-year-old kids. So he was taking them in. He was starting a thing. And he was a German. He wasn't even English. And so there's 1,200 kids need to be fed. And that somebody says, how can you assume that burden of all those needs? And he says, I don't. It's not mine. I put it on my Father, my Lord. They take care of it. But where I'm going to... what's important for this teaching is, as I was reading his biography that my father gave me, there was times that it looked bad, that he was sinking. And it wasn't just him. 1,200 orphans. And he's sitting there, and you know what he would do? Is he would get the scriptures out, and in my opinion, he would start arguing his case before a judge. And he would say, I've done this, I'm doing this, I did this because of you, I asked you if it was okay, it's not working, I don't know if you looked around, but it's not working. And he would start arguing his case, your word says this, I am doing it, and it's not, looks like it's working. And then as he would do that, guess what would happen? He would start receiving power. He goes, nevertheless, I know that I will succeed. And all of a sudden, as he was arguing his case before the Creator in Jesus Christ, guess what happened to his faith? They'd start raising up. And he wasn't convincing Jesus Christ. He wasn't convincing Yahweh. Guess who he was convincing?
Himself.
Okay. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you. What an opportunity and a blessing it is to get to share your word. And I was reading today, James 3. Don't desire to become a teacher because a greater judgment will we have. So I just thank you for leading me in to teach. And I thank you for these people that are here and for your words. And we thank you for these words you're going to speak. Do not be fearful of your circumstances. Do not be fearful of your surroundings. Do not be fearful of the wicked voices that come against you. In this world you'll have trouble, and I've called you to be a beacon, a light that shines from me. Look up and imagine yourself as a lighthouse standing all by itself with no friends, all by itself, and who is there? But if a lighthouse could look directly up, it would be in good company because that lighthouse is saving lives. This life is such a short vapor. It'll be gone before you know it. And if you choose me to be your companion, not somebody else, I will overflow your cup above and beyond anything you'd ever imagine. And at the end of this life, I will show you all the friends who have been mocking you, whose life you saved, because their boats are out there, they're cursing you, they're telling you to turn out that light, but they're about ready to be dashed to pieces on the rocks. Amen.